when I noted what my subject would be for this symposium, intercessory prayer, I had occasion to ask the Lord for wisdom to understand just exactly what my subject was. It's very interesting because the first thing you're going to note is that the word intercessory is not in the King James anyway, and I'm not sure about any other. So what do we have to ask ourselves is intercessory prayer. Very familiar with intercession. We're very familiar with what it means. We have our intercessor, Christ our Lord and Master. But obviously this is not what the subject is about, because it's intercessory prayer. So you stop and think, and you think, well, now that means interceding on the behalf of. And it's just exactly, who would you intercede for? Well, here we have a question. First thing we want to do is understand exactly what we're talking about. Intercessory prayer, which is intercession. So we go to the concordance. And the first thing we notice, it only appears 9 times in the Bible. And again, we're talking about the concordance and the King James Version. 4 of those are in the Old Testament, and 5 of them are in the New Testament. And of all those, there are only 3 that has anything to do with prayer. No more. Here's one. A matter of prayer in the Old Testament. And it appears 3 times in the New Testament. The first one we want to look at is in Romans, the 8th chapter, the 26th and 27th verses. Now, it's very interesting that what we're going to note in these two scriptures is that in 26, it's from 52:41. In 27, it's from 1793. So before we read that, what we want to do is point out that in the 26th verse, and the word there means to intercede in behalf of. And in 27, to entreat, deal with, make intercession. So with that as a background, let's turn to Romans, the 8th chapter, and begin with the 26th verse. Romans 8, 26. Now bear in mind, I'm reading here from the King James Version. It's not the best version in the world, but I believe we can bring forth exactly what the Apostle Paul is saying here. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know that what we should pray for as we ought. We know not, that's the key word, we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Well, now the question is, how much can you make out of that? Is this exactly what it's trying to tell us? Well, you look at that, and you note that the Spirit is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. That is what would make or would help our infirmities. Well, we know that we know not what we should pray for. We feel that we know what we should pray for, and this is what we pray for, but sometimes we don't know And so he continues by saying that he helped our infirmities, our lack. For the Spirit itself, the Holy Spirit, make intercession for us. And this word groaning, it's not a matter of we may be groaning within our spirit. But he says that he, the Holy Spirit, searches the hearts. In other words, the Lord knows what it is in our mind and our spirit. Because our desire, our true feelings, our sincerity is the thing the Lord knows. That's what He takes into account. When we pray, our sincerity, what we truly feel within us, not necessarily the words, but the feeling, God knows that. He understands that. He realizes that we really mean what we say and how we feel. And there are times when in going to the Lord in prayer, and at times spirit groaning within us is so far as we cannot even utter a word because of our feelings, that the Lord understands exactly how we feel and what is truly on our mind. And in that way, we have this matter of intercession as it's brought out in this particular two verses. The Lord knows and understands, in other words. And then the other one, the only other one that we have is in 1 Timothy 2 and 1. The three times that intercession is spoken of as far as prayer is concerned. So let's turn to 1 Timothy, the second chapter, and the first verse. 1 Timothy 2:1. The Apostle Paul, he said, I exhort therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. Well, it's interesting to note exactly what we have here, and this particular word, intercession, is 1783. Note in Romans 8:27 it was 1793, but this is 1783. And what it tells us, an interview. Well, you stop and think about that, and you stop and wonder who's interviewing and who's being interviewed. Well, the Lord is listening to us. What we're saying, what we have on our minds, and what Paul is saying, what we have our minds here and coming before the Lord in prayer, is to make intercession, supplication, prayers for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority. Why? That we may lead a quiet and peaceful life, or a peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. It's quite interesting that both supplication and intercession appear in this particular scripture. And you're looking at the word not only in the matter of an interview, but that is to say a supplication, an intercession, a prayer. So you have a supplication and intercession both in the same particular scripture. Meaning essentially the same thing. So you go to the word supplication and you look in the concordance, and what you find is the 1162. And what that tells us is, It's a petition. It's a prayer, a request, a supplication. And the Collegiate Dictionary puts it this way. Asking humbly and earnestly. What is the conclusion? What kind of a prayer is it? It's a prayer that is made earnestly, sincerely, and humbly, and in request, petition, and supplication, in intercession. Ha! What are we saying? Well, to me it would seem that our prayers are for others. Intercessory prayer on behalf of others. We'd like to look at three scriptures. Speaking of it, a matter of supplication, we'd like to begin with Psalms, the 55th chapter. First verse, Psalms 55 and 1. The psalmist says, give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplications. And then we go over to Ephesians, the 6th chapter, and the 18th and 19th verses. Ephesians 6, 18 and 19. Notice this. The Apostle Paul is speaking, and he is telling the Ephesians, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for what? For all saints. Praying for the saints. And then he goes on and said, and for me. Paul is asking for the prayers of the Ephesians. Why? That utterance may be given unto me. Why? That I may open my mouth boldly to make known what? The mystery of the gospel. Here we have it. The beauty of the prayer of the Apostle Paul. Praying for all saints that you might pray for me. But we have what's before us here. This is what the Apostle is bringing forth to the Ephesian brethren. And their prayers for the saints, for the Apostle Paul. Intercessory prayer. And then we go over to Philippians, the 4th chapter and the 6th verse. Philippians 4 and 6. The Apostle says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made unto God. And what would be those requests? Ah, mostly for others. Our prayers for ourselves are along the line of asking for wisdom, asking for more understanding of Scripture, and the giving of thanks. Well, asking for the Holy Spirit along that line. But mostly it's a matter of praying for others. To pray for the widows. Pray for the widowers. The foreign brethren. Those dear ones who are in foreign shores. Especially think of the dear ones in Ukraine, in the Moldova, Belgium, Romania. in Poland, throughout Europe, in fact, and all throughout the world. Prayers for others. Praying for the dear brethren that we know. Praying for those loved ones who we meet with, whom we know and love, and who we continually come together and speak one to another of the things that are so precious unto us. What I would like to do, and this is along the line, and I want to go back a moment from 1 Timothy 2:1, where we have a question in the reprints, page 3600, where the question was asked. It's under the heading Prayers for Earthly Rulers. So I'm digressing for a moment, going back to praying for earthly rulers and for the world of mankind, as we have here in 1 Timothy. The question is asked, how should we understand the apostle's expression respecting the propriety of making prayer and applications or supplications on behalf of kings and all in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty? And this is the answer. We are to feel a keen interest in the whole world, its great and its poor. We are interested in them because they are our brethren and neighbors according to the flesh, and because God loved them, had mercy upon them, and redeemed them with His blood, and has made a gracious provision for their reclamation by and by. In proportion as we are in accord with our Lord, we must be in accord with all these features of His gracious plan. And this means a love for mankind and a desire to do good unto all men as we have opportunity. Having such a kind feeling for the world, it is appropriate that we should have their interest in mind when we pray. And that prayer, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, which indeed any and everything which bears upon the interests of humanity must of necessity come close to the heart of those who have the Holy Spirit of love. It is appropriate, therefore, that on proper occasions, prayer and supplication be made on behalf of rulers, indicating our good wishes for their welfare and leading in ways of righteousness, even though we see them hastening in a wrong course toward evil conditions, sure to react to their injury. So we find, as Brother Russell pointing out here, that in praying for all men, praying for kings and those in authority, even though we know that the old world must go down, nevertheless, in the interest of that which is the kingdom which is coming, that will right the wrongs that are going on today. We are to pray for the harvest work. To pray for the harvesters. It's an intercessory prayer. We are to pray for one another. Yes, we're to pray for our enemies. We look at this, the matter of the harvest work and the prayer. In Matthew, the 9th chapter, in the 38th verse. In Matthew 9:38, we're instructed to pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. And this is what George was speaking about, that the harvest work goes on, may not go on longer, but our prayers indeed are along the lines of praying for the harvest work. Praying for those who are in the harvest work. It's an intercessory prayer. And praying for one another. We have scriptures in 1 Thessalonians 5:25, Ephesians 1:16, Colossians 4th chapter and 2nd and 3rd verses, in James 5:16, all are very good scriptures along the line of what is intercessory prayer. And then the good examples. I got one good example of intercessory prayer that I think is a very beautiful one, found in Exodus, the 32nd chapter. I'd like to start with the 30th verse. This was after the Moses came down from the mount, and they made this calf, this golden calf. And we look at this in Exodus 32, beginning with the 30th verse. And it came to pass on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, "You have sinned a great sin, and now I will go up unto the Lord. Peradventure I shall make an atonement for your sin." And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, in prayer, "Oh, this people have sinned a great sin, and have made them gods of gold." And he's asking the Lord, "Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sins, and if not, if you will not forgive their sins, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written." In other words, I pray for them, I pray thou forgive them. If not, then take me. The kind of a prayer one would pray that the brethren make their calling and the election sure, if peradventure that I am taken and I cannot or do not, but that they do. And you go on here and you find out the Lord said unto Moses, "Whosoever has sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. Therefore, now go, lead thy people unto the place which I have spoken unto thee." Well, what we have is intercessory prayer, and out of time, but we have a beautiful one. And Christ's true prayer, not the one he taught others to pray, but his prayer in the 17th chapter of John. You read that and go through that, and his prayer for his disciples, his prayer for us is a beautiful prayer. It is an intercessory prayer. To pray for others, to pray indeed that the Lord would be with them, would help them, would watch over them. That is the prayer that we find is truly intercessory prayer. And we trust that what we have spoken, that may be of help out to others, and the Lord might overrule anything where we fail, come short, or we're in error.